Hi guys, thank you very much for checking out this episode of KeyHire Podcast. Hope everyone is healthy and safe. Today on the show, we're going to speak with the CEO of Twill, Ann-Sofie Zierland-Carlsen. For those of you who do not know, Twill is a digital logistics company. It's a corporate startup owned by Maersk, which is the global leader in supply chain. Ann-Sofie is heading up the organization, and as such, we've had a great opportunity to speak with her about how she is leading the organization in times of crisis. It's a lot of good insights and good practical examples for startup founders and startup executives in high growth mode, how to navigate the change, how to transition, how to adapt, and how to deal with difficult situations that we have all found ourselves in. Check it out. Let us know what you think. Hope you're going to enjoy it. Thank you.
So Twill is a small corporate startup. It's actually 3 years old, but has recently, in second half last year, been repurposed. So Twill is today, it's part of Maersk. Maersk is a very large shipping. It's actually the world's largest shipping company. And Twill is the new arm that's going to build a value proposition end-to-end for very, very small customers. So you can say that the target customers of Twill is typically companies who are just starting to do export and import, and is in reality, trying to figure out, how to go about it. So Twill is working hard to build a value proposition where you have seamless end-to-end experience. So on one hand, it's all about trying to create, make it as easy to book a shipping a container as it is to book a flight ticket, right? That's part of it. But it is also very much part of building a value proposition, a customer service experience around it that differs wildly as to what you see in normal logistics. I think I can say this without offending anyone too much. I think that customer service is not really, something that logistics is known for. And in Twill, we truly believe that, especially in the 20s, if customer service, if you do that right, you can really truly, that can become a massive differentiator. So we're extremely focused on that. And then lastly, we're focused on figuring out how to make digital sales work in logistics. For some reason, no one has cracked that code yet. And that's what we are all about. We haven't cracked it yet either, but that's kind of our mission in life, you can say. So those are the main things. We're fully owned by Maersk. So I have a Maersk contract. I work for Maersk, but Twill is a standalone organization. We have dedicated salespeople, dedicated customer service people. There's close to 200 of them across the world. We have staffed up. So Twill is actually now a global company. The rule has been that where Maersk is, Twill is as well. So on January 1st, we went live. And then we have our headquarters in The Hague, in Netherlands, where I'm located. And there we have, center excellence teams on sales and customer service. But we also have a large marketing setup, working to crack the code of digital sales and to generate growth. And then last, but absolutely not least, we have our own tech setup, both a digital product and a technical or a tech department that is actually under one umbrella. We call it Twill Digital that develops the platform. So you can say that's more or less the setup. If we were to count the Twillers, as we call them, then there are about 280 of us globally. Yes, so you can say it's kind of a company where we, in some ways, we're doing things a little backwards because we're still in many ways, we're experimenting and we're learning, but we have chosen to go global a little bit overnight in spite of not necessarily have a final proof of concept. I think that is one of the massive strengths of being part of Maersk. Has actually been that we've been able to do that, and they have enough trust in us to be willing to try to fund that, and so that's of course it is a little different than what many other companies would or startups would do, because normally you would do proof of concept, proof of market, proof of scale, right? I mean something like that in that order. And we've done scale pretty fast, but so far it's actually is actually working quite well. So we are on an exciting journey.
Absolutely. I think it's a great story for any company that looks to scale very rapidly and how to really deal with the pace of change and that kind of growth. Just to clarify, how many offices and what's the spread geographically?
Yeah, so you can say we are servicing 154 countries, but we are represented in, so we're basically set up in terms of, we call it an area structure, where we have 27, you can say, areas where we, from several of them, service several countries. So for instance, if you take something like Singapore, would service all of Southeast Asia. And so 27 of these, you can say, main hubs, but able to offer products in 154 countries.
Without, right? You have part of the team in The Hague, which is still your global HQ.
Yes.
Remember correctly. But then you would also have teams in other countries, including Warsaw, for example, and probably a few other
countries. Correct. So the thing I forgot to mention, and that was that's embarrassing. We also have part of our, so we have our headquarter in Hague, and then we have our development center, you can say, actually in Gdańsk in Poland, where we have a team sitting that works extremely closely as part of our tech or our digital outfit. It's where we look to actually be growing when we talk about tech talent, that we really want to make an excellent center there.
Yeah. And then I believe that the culture is super important as well, right? As you are a part of the large organization and actually a corporate startup, I think that's probably, not sure if more important, but super important for you to define your own kind of DNA, culture, values. Can you speak a little bit about that and you know, how it will kind of differentiate themselves in that sense?
Yes, there's no doubt that for especially for corporate startups, I think it's extremely important to, I'm not sure whether Twill is more or less like that, but because we grew a lot overnight, you can say, in quarter four, in 3 months, we went from being live in 22 countries to 154 countries. And we've actually taken in quite a lot of people from Maersk simply because we needed a lot of people who know something about logistics. And this thing with taking people who have lived in a very corporate, you know, large company, and now bringing them into a company, Twill, which have been, you know, had already been going for 2.5 years and had built its own culture. And how do you do this? I think it requires a lot of work, right? It requires, we spent a lot of time on trying to define, you can say, the behaviors we would like to foster in Twill. Mm-hmm. I spend a lot of time on both reflecting on, but also speaking to the leaders in Twill about what kind of leadership I expect in Twill. And you can say, I actually see myself as, you know, more than being the CEO, I actually see myself a little bit as being, you can say, someone who is trying to build a culture and a, more than a culture, but maybe even more an environment. I'm trying very hard to build an environment that foster creativity and dedication and growth, you know, something that inspires people. And what I've actually seen is, and maybe it sounds wrong, but what I've actually seen is it's actually been easier than I thought. The thing is that a lot of people who have been working for a big corporate startup or a big corporate company, and now they join, you know, a corporate startup like Twill, a lot of them, they have been yearning for a lot of these things.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, you know, I felt that myself, right? Some of all of the things that's been annoying me in Big Maersk, all of a sudden, you know, I see that when you just do small things slightly different, then it becomes a different thing. And it's something about these, you know, we have something called it's a little corny, but I call it Twill Magic. Twill Magic is all about, it's all about how we try to create this environment that I just talked about. And, you know, some very basic principles, right? It's something about that customers need to be in the middle of everything we do, right? So the people we hire, the way we talk about our customers, you know, I want everyone to have a deep interest in our customers. Mm-hmm. I want us to love our customers, right? That needs to be kind of the feeling that we get from the Twillers and people who will kind of throw their hearts into it a little bit. It's something about talking about being one team, right? I mean, I think a lot of large, a lot of companies, I also think this is in startup, right? They end up working in silos. So very much where you have, you know, when I entered Twill, there was a lot of, you know, there was kind of tech and product for the digital guys. And then there was what they referred to as the business. Yeah. And, you know, so we worked very hard on, we are all the business. I mean, there's no one who's not the business. You know, we all have to be part of this. And this is something that I spend a lot of time with the leaders of Twill talking about. And, you know, I'm not saying we are where we need to be, but I now hear them refer to it, right? So when someone says, oh, but that's also the business doing that, there will immediately be someone who says, ah, that's, you know, that's all of us. And to be honest, I think this thing with starting to talk about it, I think if it's done in the right way, it kind of resonates largely with most people. So that part has worked out quite well. Then there's something about care to them. It's something that's extremely important to me, that I care a lot about the people I work with, and I expect from my leaders to care about their people. And we are here as leaders. We work as much. We work for the people just as much as they work for us. If you understand what I mean. I mean this thing with older, more old school way of thinking of leadership, where it's a lot about hierarchies and managers who decide and so on. I don't want that in Twill. I'm not in Twill to decide how the product should look or how the customer experience should be. But I'm here to make a environment where the Twillers are able to make those decisions based on data and learnings from customers, and then have the freedom to actually take that creativity and their ideas and turn them into actual products for our customers. And I think this way of thinking of that is, I'm not saying we're there, but it's something we try to spend a lot of time on. What is it actually, you know, is it actually to be a leader, you know? Is it to decide how things should look? Or is it to actually remove obstacles and make sure that your people can run with the great ideas that are that they have, and that's the reason why you hired them, right?
Yeah.
And then lastly, there's something about toxic behavior. I'm very, I don't want it in Twill. And when I say toxic behavior, I mean, I come from Maersk is a very ambitious, result-driven organization. It's a very masculine culture. All logistics is, I think that's, I think over time, very often, you know, people who have been delivering great results, they have very often been excused for being, pardon my French, assholes. Mm. I don't want that in Twill. So you know, this thing with caring about the people around you and being, you know, someone who adds to this environment that we want to create, that is just as important for me as it is to, you know, how smart you are and how you deliver results. And I think this thing is, to me, it's very defining that that is a clear rule, you know, and I will not be, and am not scared of firing people for it, to be honest. No. And then lastly, the very last thing, and then I'm going to shut up, is about, you know, it's called the once a Twiller, always a Twiller. It's extremely important to me that we treat our people nicely when they leave, because I hope that maybe they will come back someday. And I think this Twill as a community or this environment, that's very important for me. So, you know, there's maybe it's also a little bit, it's very opposite to Maersk. Maersk has, I think it's a lot better today, but historically had this thing with, you know, if you turn your back to Maersk, Maersk will turn its back on you, you know, kind of a little bit, you know, if you left forever and no one would ever be, you would be shunned. And it's very important for me that that's not how it is in Twill, that we kind of, you know, understand when people want to go and pursue other opportunities to grow, and that we do everything we can to keep contact with them, because surely having for Twill to have friends out there can only be beneficial. So that's that was a very long talk about how I see the Twill culture, but I hope it gives you an idea.
It does. And thank you so much. And I think it's something that a lot of startup founders that try to define their own cultures resonate with. It's a lot of concepts that I think are very prevalent right now. And of course, it's, as you've said, it's a journey, right, to instill them and make sure that they scale as well as the organization grows, because sometimes, because it's so fast, it's difficult. But it's good to kind of talk about these things and kind of remind ourselves. So you've mentioned so many different things. I'll just try to wrap it up so that our listeners can kind of maybe recap all that. So you mentioned acting as one team, right? Which means acting in collaboration, eliminating the silos. So really kind of enabling that cross-functional communication in the team, right? Super important. And then you were talking about fostering creativity in the team as well. So creating that space for innovation in an organization which is fast-paced, but nevertheless. And then you talked about customer centricity, right? So also making decisions which are informed by customer data and really kind of being evangelist and being obsessive about customer experience, which is super vital. Care to there, that's an interesting one. Could you elaborate a little bit on that one?
On which one, sorry? Oh, care to there? Yeah. It's, you know, I think, this thing about, you know, I think there's a lot of startups today this thing with celebrating failures, right? And I've thought about that a lot. You know, it's not, I love the idea of celebrating failures. I love the idea, but you also have to celebrate wins. But in reality, what I'm looking for and thrill is bravery. I'm looking for people who are willing to take risks and who know that they are in an environment that is celebrated, you know, calculated risks and sometimes maybe not even calculated, but people who lean out and really, really try. Right? And I believe very much that to dare to do that, to foster an environment where people dare, that comes from a lot from caring, that when people feel that they are among, you know, that they're safe and that they are in a place where people have their back, that's, you know, room to actually put yourself out there and take your ideas and run with it and believe in yourself believe in yourself, but also in the company that even though you should get something completely wrong, you know, then people will still be around you and that trust in you. So it's care to dare is kind of, you know, it's kind of a tag phrase and it's a little corny, right? But it is about, you know, that this bravery that I'm looking for in the people we have in Twill, but it's actually more in the environment, because I believe that a lot of people will be even braver if they feel safe. And I think safety and trust comes from an environment of people caring for each other in a very different way than what you see in large corporates.
Mm-hmm. That's perfect. And creating that safety net, right, where the failure is actually not being necessarily criticized straight away, as long as it's a failure forward, say sometimes, right? So it's try for it. And teams feeling more empowered to make their own decisions and speak up in that way. And also removing obstacles as being a leader, it's really about eliminating those roadblocks and obstacles for people to be able to come up with initiatives. Eliminating toxic behavior, no matter the results, that's I think a big one as well, right? So no tolerance for being not a kind person, to put it in a politically correct way.
Exactly.
No matter how much of a high performer you are, right? And being very definite about that. And once a tooler, always a tooler. I love that. And it kind of speaks a little bit about how we treat employees who are leaving, right? Because I think especially in these teams, we talk a lot about the experience during the recruitment process. We talk a lot about onboarding. We don't talk as much about offboarding, right? So how do we handle the goodbye to the employee situation? And it probably ties a little bit to the situation we're in today, right? Where a lot of people, unfortunately, are being laid off, or at least temporarily. And I wanted to kind of dive into that, Anna, a little bit, how Twill has been impacted as an organization by COVID-19, any specific challenges you guys have been facing recently, how have you been coping, adapting to that, maybe from kind of overall people leadership and HR hiring standpoint and
Yes. I'd say on one hand, the Twill is set up in a fortunate way in two ways. Number one, because we have a quite global setup, we're very used to working remotely. So that part has actually, has been all right. And the second part, in terms of the business, we're actually extremely fortunate because I think if you right now, if you read what people are expecting to come out of the COVID-19 crisis, you know, in the wake of it, then it is very much digital value propositions in a B2B environment will come out and benefit. And so, to be honest, we're actually almost seeing that twill already. We've actually been growing every week between 5% and 9% every week the last 6 weeks, in spite of all of this. So you can say it's in that sense we're pretty lucky. But if we talk about the fact that Twill is a company that's just been repurposed, it is a company where, you know, everyone understands that when you work for Maersk, which at the end of it we do, right, then it is a company that will have, you know, when you live from global trade, then it's a massive risk to have a massive financial crisis, right? So on one hand, there's a massive amount of insecurity as to, you know, will this crisis mean that they will close down Twill, right? But will they not want to invest in us anymore? So job security is a big thing. And then, of course, there's something around, you know, communication and how do you actually keep the spirits high, you know, in this. And then lastly, Twill has a very young population. The average age of the Twillers is around 28 years. And that means that we have a lot of people who are not married, who live alone. And so we've had a lot of focus on this thing with how do we actually watch out even more for the people who could actually sit and be terribly lonely and struggle the most maybe with this situation. I think things we've done, I mean, look, we try to communicate new ways. I think we see that in many companies. We probably over-communicate almost in terms of, you know, how things are developing in every country, how Maersk and Twill is adapting in terms of safety regulations and so on. And there as Twill, we just decided that we just follow what Maersk is doing. So in terms of this crisis management thing, we've kind of tapped onto Maersk and followed that. So we've been very lucky in that sense. But we're actually back to care today. I think I spent a lot of time following up with people. Of course, my leadership team, I'm very close to. But under the care today, you know, philosophy, we're spending a lot of time with our teams following how they're actually doing. And we speak about individuals in the leadership team. We have daily huddles where we have focus on individuals who are, you know, not doing well. And I think this is actually, in some ways, I feel that COVID-19 is a little bit of a test of this culture. You know, I'm this thing that we care about each other, I'm actually really seeing that coming to life. So in some ways, you know, that's really nice. And there's people doing things. Or, you know, that was 2 weeks ago, the Twillers were, we have a large population of gentlemen who work in tech, who are maybe not the biggest cook. And so there were a few of the, you know, people from other departments who made this, you know, they now cook together. So they send out shopping lists and everyone buy it. And then they cook together. There's someone who's showing, you know, then you do this and this and everyone does it. And then they after that eat together and so on. You know, so I'm seeing a lot of these, you know, a lot of creativity in people trying to stay together and have focus on each other and so on, which actually really, it touches me a lot. So there's a lot of that going on. Then on the other hand, we're trying to, you know, we use the tool Office Vibe, which is like an employee engagement tool, which I'm a massive fan of. It's really fantastic. And then we've made a special COVID-19 survey where we are asking people, you know, actually how they feel. We're asking them a lot of different things, you know, about the tools they have. Do they have the right tools to actually do their job? Do they feel feel connected to the rest of the Twillers and the business? And do they feel that the leadership team is doing, you know, a good job? And do they have suggestions for how we could improve on our communication? And then we have this, we ask them to describe every week, describe with one word how they feel. Mm. How does COVID-19 make them feel? Mm. And I then make these a little corny, I make these word clouds out of those words. And then every week we have a huddle where we talk about what's in that word cloud and how do they change. Yeah. What's extremely interesting has seen that, you know, words as, you know, insecure, sad, concerned, you know, these words, they're very much there still. But words like connected, optimistic, aware, grateful are actually over the last week starting to pop up. And I think it's extremely, we have some very good talks, I feel, discussions about that. And this thing with being open, and I think I'm trying to be as open as I can about myself, how I'm feeling. You know, I'm an extreme extrovert. So for me to be locked in behind bars on my own is like I'm bouncing the walls a little bit. But I think this thing with all of us being, trying to be as open as we can and talk about, you know, put words on our feelings, it helps us a lot. And it's that's related to care to dare as well. Yeah. So I think communicate even more than you normally do. Really listen to your people around, you know, how, not only how they're doing on work, but how they're feeling. And then constantly as a leadership team, you know, take actions as to, you know, how you adjust just going forward. And to me, it's extremely important that it's not a one size fits all, but that we both have a general discussions on how we do things on a general level, but that we have room to actually take actions for individuals who struggle. That's important to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting, as you've mentioned, the kind of the word clouds, right? And how the sentiment changes a little bit, maybe from that initial shock and insecurity, anxiety, to actually kind of adapting and accepting a little bit new situation, and then finding that your inner peace, right? But I think it also comes from the fact that your employees feel connected, right? And they're constantly checking with them on a regular basis, and that kind of like gives them maybe a little bit that comfort, right? So there is that more peace and optimism. That's interesting. And that's all on the kind of how do we nurture the communication, and over communication is super important. Are there any other aspect and that perhaps could be helpful for teams who are not very experienced in remote collaboration and maybe also deal with situations related to layoffs or recruitment freezes? Not sure if this has impacted you as well in the HR field.
Yes.
How do you manage that situation? If there are possible redundancies, recruitment freezes, how do you deal with that from kind of candidate or employee experience perspective, and also to make sure that Twill as an employer brand, you know, stays
yes. I think so we will have we have part of Maersk, again, we have a recruitment freeze right now, except from business critical positions. So that's of course never fun to be in that situation in a company that really wants to grow, right? With that being said, I think again it comes down to communication. I've talked a lot about that we kind of have, you know, in COVID-19 we have priorities. Priority number one is our people, that they stay safe, but also that we find ways to make sure that we keep the jobs. We do everything we can to keep jobs. Number two is our customers, that we do everything we can for our customers. And number three is society, that we do everything we can to support society. And so those three things, the number one thing about our employees and jobs, we try to talk a lot of that. Then maybe right now, you know, having a hiring freeze, that's terrible, right? It's just not where we want to be. But if you look at it in the light of that, it is actually to make sure that we keep our liquidity as much as possible, and by that make the chance of keeping the 12 jobs intact much larger, then I think everyone can understand it. So to me, it's very much that's a communication exercise. Now, how are we, what are we actually going to do if we have a hiring freeze that goes on for long? To be honest, if we continue growing, as we've actually seen in Twill, in spite of all of this, then we will be one of the fortunate few. And that will also mean that we most likely will have the funds to lift such a hiring freeze. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm not so worried about it right now. But at the end of the day, whether it is, if it is a hiring freeze ongoing, or if it is, it gets to, you know, the terrible scenario of us having to say goodbye to people, then, I mean, this is, it comes down to this thing with how you do it, to me, right? I mean the as an employee branding, this thing with once a Twiller, always a Twiller, yeah. And to making sure that we are completely transparent about the things that's being done to try to keep jobs right now. That's the most important thing for me. It's very important for me that people understand that I will go to very great lengths to make sure that we don't have to say goodbye to colleagues. And I think that does something for the, you can say, the mood in the, or the feeling around how things are done. To be honest, I think at the end of the day, the how companies will be judged on all of this is not whether they had to lay off people, because everyone will understand that, but it is how you did it, right? And it is how far did you actually go to and how much the leaders, you can say, lead in this, right? How much do you take the, as much as you can, the hurt on yourself and the and carry the responsibility yourself to protect the people? And if you, at the end, can't do that all the way, well, then maybe, I believe you will be forgiven for it as long as you you care about your people in the process. So to me, it comes very much back to the care to dare thing that also here, you know, I can't guarantee anything because I don't know where all of this is going to end. But as we move along, I am as transparent, you know, I am fully transparent with the Twillers. I share with them how I see the situation basically every day. I tell them about my own fears and I tell them about, you know, how I right now am thinking about the coming 2 to 3 weeks and when I believe I will be able to share what with them. So I think it's about trying to, you can't take the hurt away from this, right? You can't take the pain away, but you have to kind of walk into it and talk about it and be okay with it being there and then have open and transparent discussions about how to weather the storm together. I think that's probably my philosophy in all of this.
Yeah, so I think as a CEO in that crisis mode, is, if we can describe that way, it's super important to keep that transparency, right? To keep the team informed, not to hide things away. And at the same time, kind of come forward as the strong leader and being optimistic and positive, but at the same time, very transparent, right? Keeping that balance.
Yeah, exactly. And I think in you know, in some companies, CEOs are afraid of sharing their fears because they think that if they do that, you know, then they will freak people out.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I don't know, but I choose to be very open about my own concerns and how I deal with them and how I kind of work through with them and so on.
I believe that it's a little bit of that radical candor that we talk a lot about.
Exactly.
Leadership, right? I think it inspires a sense of trust and credibility in the leader, right? It makes much more relatable and makes it very, very authentic. And I think that is trust rather than the opposite. And you mentioned also the crisis management policies that you're implementing in Twill, which is part of the Maersk policy. I wonder if you would like to talk a little bit about that, if it can relate to startup environment, if some of these policies perhaps could be translatable into that kind of environment.
Yes, so we have had, you can say, we have in each country, we've kind of followed the governmental guidelines, right? So it hasn't been at the same date that we all work from home, you know, Poland was, for instance, a lot later than The Hague or Netherlands, which was a lot later than Italy, for instance, right? So we followed, you know, in each location, we followed the local guidelines. I would say we have decided that we're probably more careful than necessary. So even though in some countries, you know, we're talking about that in some locations, people can actually go into offices and so on, but we kind of said, why bother? We are able to work remotely, so we're going to do that to keep our people as safe as possible. In the same way, we're now in some places, they're actually starting to open up slowly. That's the case in Denmark, for instance. There we will just follow the governmental, you can say, regulation. So I think that's been a very big focus. Then another big topic is actually IT security. You could say we were lucky that Maersk has a very big, you know, infrastructure set up and with VPN clients and so on. So we've been able to have a pretty smooth, maybe there were a few days where systems were a little slow, but you know, overall in a 4-week period, I would say we've had pretty smooth connection and system setups. There's a long host of things we've had to look into in terms of security things, because actually when you work on a VPN client, it's at least in our setup, it's not as secure as when you do not. So there we are staying very close and following, you know, the rules pretty, you know, strictly from when that comes out from the board. And what else are we, you can say, then Maersk has a lot of different offering. They do you know, they send out good recommendations to how do you run a meeting, you know, in a distant, you know, or remote setup. And then, you know, I think the Twillers, we smile at that a little bit, right? Because we kind of know how to do that, because that's kind of how we work. But you know, we try to take all of this. You know, it's better to have more information and more you know, suggestions than too little. So we lean very much into that. But I think the most important thing is this thing with that every Twiller, no matter where you sit in the world, that you will feel constantly updated on what is actually going on in the country you're in, what is the government suggesting, or what regulations are there right now, and how is, you know, what is Maersk expecting for the next couple of weeks. So, you know, every time a state head has been out and saying something about, you know, what's happening in the UK, what's happening in Italy, and so on, we make sure that there are summaries that's sent out to all Twillers in that country, and that is also made publicly available for all Twillers in general. So, you know, even though you sit in China, you can still follow what's going on in Italy. So I think this information flow, that everyone is kind of aware of what is happening where, that's super important. And then I have a weekly, you can say, COVID-19 huddle, where I actually try to speak to, you know, what's going on where in the world, and where are we doing what at a relatively high level, mostly focusing on where there's changes or where the situation is dire. And then we're following very closely. You know, we are lucky. You know, there's still no Twillers that has been impacted by COVID. So there's, everyone's healthy, but there are a few of them who have spouses or parents that are impacted. And we actually, again, we double down and talk about that in a larger forum to kind of, you know, support each other and be there for each other. So I think that's probably the main things that we do on that specifically.
Yeah, I think that's kind of simple enough, but at the same time, super important, right? To have that kind of information updates, which are very comprehensive, that include all of the locations in which you operate. So it's consistent, it's kind of validated piece of information. So everyone is on the same page. And of course, there's a lot of other information sources which might be not as credible. So you as an organization, you kind of feel responsible to have that feed updated.
Exactly.
And relevant.
Yes.
Perfect. And just to finish off on a positive note, that once we come out of this, we soon, what are the big goals for Twill? What are you guys looking to achieve mid long term? What are the next plans for the company?
Yeah, so look, I really hope that Twill will, you know, through all of this, we will focus a lot to stay as close to our customers and help our customers through tough times as much as we can. And after that, I want us to be 100% ready to ride the wave of a potential, you know, could you say, more boost to online and digital value propositions in the B2B space. So this thing with actually that we're sitting, being ready for a market to actually opening up for us, and then making sure that we're ready to, you can say, take advantage of that. And sometimes I feel a little guilty saying it like that, because it's not like I want to benefit off a massive global crisis. My focus is, you know, to, as I said again, you know, my people, the customers, society. But after that, you know, as a CEO, it's my job to make sure that all Twillers are ready to ride this if an opportunity does arise when we get out of it. And then I think it's about, I really want to spend some time reflecting and learning from all the Twillers on why it is that it seems that we have actually been able to, you know, our engagement has actually gone up through this. Why is that? Is it actually that something around people moving closer in a crisis? And so I want to take that and make sure that I use that so we also can move closer even when we're not in a crisis. So I think I'll be very focused on making sure that we actually learn from the things we did well. And also, of course, from the things we didn't do so well, so we can make sure that that we think of that in every day-to-day, or God forbid, another crisis should come.
Yeah, I think that's a great summary. And I think we all can learn a lot in this time. And hopefully that's the silver lining of it all.
Yes, I hope so.
Hello, guys. Thank you very much for checking out this episode of Key Hire Podcast and our chat with Anne-Sophie, CEO at Twill. We're hoping this has brought some value to you. So please leave us your comment, rating, give us a follow if you've liked it. Stay healthy and safe. And until the next time.